I'm Melinda Tuhus reporting for Wings. A sense of mission, of urgency, and solidarity suffuses most nonviolent acts of civil disobedience. But what happens to those people and their cases in the long months and sometimes years after their arrests? The sense of urgency was strong last March in Connecticut as dozens of people were arrested in two different protests in New Haven and Hartford at the beginning of the war against Iraq. People blocked the doors of the federal buildings in both cities. In New Haven, a group of men violently pushed their way past the protesters.
They're kicking people in the face and walking over them.
Shame on you! Shame on you!
Patty Newelson was one of two women who took the brunt of the assault.
We're not hurting anyone, and the officers are not stopping the violence against us. People are stepping on us.
Shortly after that incident, the police officer in charge announced,
"You're in violation of state and federal law by blocking the entrance to a federal building. If you don't stand up and leave now, you will be placed under arrest."
Of a total of 65 people arrested in New Haven and Hartford, 15 were arrested at both actions. Within that group, three women, charged with criminal trespass and disorderly conduct, are demanding jury trials in both cases. Most others charged accepted one day of community service and a small fine. Patty Newelson, Joan Kavanaugh, and Paula Panzarella are longtime activists. Newelson explains why she took part in the protests.
I felt that as a citizen of this country that I was required under international law to speak out against this current government's policy, which is just an absolute wrong path.
Kavanaugh says their decision to engage in civil resistance was not made lightly.
And we're all saying, you know, we're not playing a game here. This is serious. And we didn't do this to buy our way out or to pay for the privilege of taking a stand that we had every right to take and every responsibility to take.
Paula Panzarella says they look forward to talking to a jury about their actions, even though getting their day in court is not why they acted.
Our desire is not to go through the court, bring it through the whole court process. You know, our objective was for the initial resistance, and we are going to fight it as much as we can. But if the prosecutor, in his wisdom, says, "I'm not going to prosecute," we will gladly accept a dismissal.
As of July, the women have already had to appear twice in court in New Haven and five times in Hartford. Joan Kavanaugh.
What happens is that the process becomes the punishment. They drag you back and back and back and back, and they run you through this very dehumanizing process. They attempt to make it impossible for you to state why you did what you did. They interrupt you. They threaten you with contempt of court. So that whether or not you actually end up doing jail time, you've already been harassed and punished just by the fact of having to keep coming back and deal with this nonsense. We have already logged more time in court than the people who did the community service.
Kavanaugh says a case resulting from a civil disobedience action in which he participated in the 1980s wound through the courts for 5 years before it was finally nollied without her consent, meaning authorities declined to prosecute, but if she was arrested within the following 13 months, the original charges could be reinstituted. Not only are the three women appearing in court regularly, they're also acting as their own attorneys. Panzarella explains.
We are going pro se, so we've all become our own lawyers, which means many hours spent going to the law library, writing up motions, meeting with lawyers who have given us different ideas on how to present our case, and basically we've taken a cram course in this, so it's quite time-consuming, but we also wouldn't have it any other way.
Kavanaugh explains the defense they plan to use.
If you break a law to prevent or to try to prevent a greater crime, you do have the legal right to make that argument that you are actually acting. You are legally justified to break one law in order to try to prevent a much greater crime from being committed.
That's called the necessity defense. Defendants in dozens of cases have tried to use it in actions opposing specific wars and also the U.S. war machine in general. Judges have almost always refused to allow it. But historian Howard Zinn notes that it was successful in at least two cases, one in New Jersey in the 1970s in a protest against the Vietnam War and one in Vermont in the 1980s in opposition to the U.S. role in Central America. All three women have flexible work schedules, which allow them to devote the necessary time to their cases. It's mostly hurry up and wait, with lots of postponements, interminable court recesses, and the general confusion and incompetence found in American jurisprudence. Because of the crowded court docket and their demand for a jury trial, they have been assigned a virtual court date in New Haven of January 4th, 2010. They've been assured the actual date will come sooner, but the women expect a long wait. Kavanaugh says a case resulting from a civil disobedience action in which she participated in the 1980s wound through the courts for 5 years before it was finally resolved. These women are in it for the long haul. I'm Melinda Tuhus in New Haven, Connecticut, USA, for Wings.